This morning I want to begin a new four-part series titled Controlling Your Anger Before It Controls You. Controlling your anger, this emotion, before it controls you. The Bible has a lot to say about anger. It really does. I'm also using a book by that title, a fellow by the name of Gregory Yance, Controlling Your Anger Before It Controls You, drawing some thoughts out of that. But I want to share some thoughts about real life for all of us. I have some real big experience in anger and losing it. I've made all the mistakes, so I can speak about this because I understand what it means to fail. And the verse that Rich used, James 1:19, it's in your notes. Let's read that together. My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Some of us have that flipped. We are quick to get angry. We are quick to speak, and we are slow to listen. You see, we have to work at getting those three in the right order. We need to listen first to other people. We need to be slow to speak, and then we need to be slow to become angry. Paul in 1 Corinthians 13:5 says, hey, when you love deeply, love is not easily angered or provoked. Let me say that again. Love toward other people is not easily provoked or angered. So what I want to do today is share with you four truths about anger, lay a foundation for the next 3 weeks. And so if you take your sermon listening guide, let's get started. Number one, anger is a normal and natural emotion. Anger is a normal and natural emotion. I'm going to let Breanne go back to a few quotes on anger that I skipped over. Go back to the first one, Breanne. And I like this. I don't need anger management. You just need to stop making me angry. Here's the second one. Speak when you are angry, and you will make the best speech you will ever regret. Isn't that true? So true. Here's the third one. Mark Twain, anger is an acid that can do more harm to the vessel in which it is stored than to anything on which it is poured. Isn't that true? And here's the last one. Anger is one letter short of danger. That is so true, isn't it? So when we think of anger is a normal and natural emotion, read with me Genesis 1:26 in your notes. Then God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness. We are made in God's image and likeness. Did you know that God can get angry? He's a loving, compassionate God, but he does have a part of himself that can get angry. Example, in the book of Exodus, he's calling Moses to become the leader of the children of Israel out of Egypt. He appears to him in a burning bush and says, Moses, this is what I want you to do. You know what Moses did? He said, I don't know, they may not believe me when I go. And so God took his staff and turned it into a snake and did a miracle and tried to persuade Moses. And then excuse number two, Moses said, well, I can't speak very well. And God says, I made your mouth. You'll be okay. I'll be with you. And he still wasn't persuaded. Then finally, excuse number three, Moses says, just send somebody else. And you know what happened after the third excuse? It's in your notes. The Lord's anger burned against Moses. And he said, what about your brother Aaron the Levite? I know he can speak well. God can get angry. He's not an angry God. He's a compassionate God. But just like a parent, you want to love your kids 90 to 95% of the week, but there might come something that pops up that'll make you as a parent angry. And so God has this peace of he can become angry. Mark chapter 3, verse 5. Jesus is about to heal a guy. He's got a shriveled hand. And there's some people around him. It's on the Sabbath, and they're trying to trap him of why he would do that on the Sabbath. And it says, Jesus looked at them in anger. There's certain things that make Jesus and God angry. And it says, he went ahead and he was deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts and said to the man, stretch out your hand. He stretched it out and his hand was completely healed. Here's the point. We are made in God's image. And that image has all kinds of different traits to it. We want to love deeply. That's what God is primarily about. But he and Jesus could get angry. And that's part of who they are. Number two, the second truth about anger is this. Anger is experienced when there is a gap between expectation and performance. Let me explain that. This is your expectation for the people in your life of how you want them to perform. Whether it's reasonable or unreasonable, we all have expectations. When the performance comes in down here and the expectation is up here, there's a gap. You know what happens in that gap? We either get frustrated, we become either annoyed or agitated, and it's in that gap where we can become angry. You know why? Our expectations are not met. And so understand when there's a unfulfilled expectation toward yourself or toward someone else, and the performance is down here and there's a gap, there's a high probability you could experience this thing called anger. Now, the question is, what kind of things do we get angry or hurt about? Maybe it's a health issue. Sometimes it can be so overwhelming and as we respond to it, it's just hard. How about the death of a loved one? That's at the top of the list. I mean, when we lose a loved one, we can experience the emotion of anger. How about this? Maybe it's a relationship that didn't work out, and even a divorce. And what happens is there's an expectation, and there's a performance, and there's a gap. And anger can just kind of swell up inside of us. How about a family situation where a child doesn't do what you want them to do? Expectation, performance. And the list goes on and on. Could be a marriage. Maybe you have an expectation of a husband or wife, and there's a gap, and this thing called anger can swell up. Well, read with me what Paul says about it. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. In your anger, do not sin. You can be angry and be okay. But there's a line when we cross it and the anger controls us, that's when it becomes a problem. But Paul says, in your anger, do not sin. Now, we've heard the phrase, don't let the sun go down on your wrath or while you're still angry. You know why? You go to bed angry, you're going to wake up angry, right? That's how it works. And so he's saying, deal with it as quickly as you can. Now, here's the problem. He says, don't give the devil a foothold. A foot can hold a door open by a virtue of 4 inches. If you put your foot there, it'll come into rest between it and the door frame. Just about 4 inches. But when you give the enemy a foothold through anger, here's what it can go to. It can then become a root in your life. Hebrews talks about the root of bitterness. There can be a root of anger that can go down inside of us, and it's harder to deal with. So Paul says, hey, before the sun sets and you go to bed, deal with your angers, because if you get it on the front end, it's a whole lot easier. So we find Paul just admonishes, hey, when you have anger, deal with it as quickly as possible. Number three. The third point is what you do with anger that determines whether you control it or it controls you. Read with me Proverbs 29:11 in your notes. Fools give full vent to their rage, but the wise bring calm in the end. On one end is the person who gives full vent to their rage. And you know what the Word of God calls those people? A fool. I've been a fool different times in my life. I've given full vent to my rage. And that's when the emotion has controlled me rather than me controlling the emotion. It says the wise bring calm in the end. A wise person can get angry and in their thinking control the emotion so they do not act on it. They act on it inappropriately. So the key is always trying to be in control of the emotion before it overtakes us and we give full vent to our rage. Read with me the next verse in your notes. A gentle answer deflects anger, but harsh words make tempers flare. If you're ever getting in a conversation with someone and it starts to become escalating or you can just tell it's really heating up, here's a secret. A gentle answer deflects anger. When you speak softly and kindly to someone who's angry, it will deflate it. It will put it out. It will somehow overcome it. On the other hand, harsh words make tempers flare. I want to give you a visual. Probably everybody in here at some point has played volleyball in your life. And we know how it goes. One team or person hits the ball over the net. The other team hits the ball back. And you begin this volley situation. Now, it's a great visual because I want you to think of two people talking to each other, and the conversation begins to get intense. And the conversation can escalate. You know what that means? It starts to get a little higher in intensity. And that's what angry conversations do. They start out husband and wife maybe talking about money, and then a person makes a comment, well, you never were good at saving. And then the person back says, well, your mother or father did it the same way. And the conversation escalates. I want to tell you how to control that, all right? Think of the volleyball going back and forth across the net. Here's how you control the situation. Somebody has to catch the ball and hold it. Because if you catch the ball and hold it, and by that I mean you take control of your anger and you do not speak, you are careful and guarded, you catch the ball and hold it, there's nothing for that person to volley back. A gentle answer turns away wrath. You see, the person who can control that in them wins the conversation. I've lost it at times, I'll be honest. Other times I've controlled it. But the person who walks away with catching the ball is the winner. You know why? The person that gives full vent to the rage leaves the conversation thinking they've won, but they feel crummy when they think about it. Make sense? Catch the ball and hold it. You see, it doesn't mean you never talk about it and you just stuff it. But you control the escalation of the conversation by catching the ball of the conversation, and you do not return the volley of harsh words. It'll work every time. The person on the other side won't have any ammo. They won't know what to do because you're not responding. You're not engaging in that detrimental conversation. It's what you do with it when you feel it. You got to try and control it so that it does not control us And that's what God wants us to master and grow and mature in. So number one, anger is normal and natural. Number two, it's experienced when there's a gap between what I expect of myself or other people and the performance. Number three, it's what you do with the anger that determines whether you control it or it controls you. And finally, number four, each person here has a pain pocket where we store unresolved anger. Pain pocket. Jimmy Evans, in a book, When Life Hurts, writes about this somewhat extensively. He calls it a hurt pocket. And I like to think of it as a pain pocket, but we understand what a pocket is. You might have a pocket in your outfit, your pants, or whatever you wore today. And here's what you do. You know what you put in pockets? Stuff. Keys, money, your hands. Pockets store things. And everybody here has got a pocket inside them. We'll call it a pain pocket. And you know what's in there? Unresolved emotions. If you've had a hurt in your life and you resolved it, it's probably not in there. It's not a big deal. But if it's unresolved, which means you still have pain and hurt connected to it, it's in your pain pocket. Read with me Colossians 3, 7, and 8 in your notes. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Here's what Paul is saying. When we live life apart from God, we get all kinds of stuff piled up inside of us. And when we come to faith in Christ, he says, listen, I want to help you empty your pain pocket. It's called anger, rage, and malice. It can be any kind of an emotional hurt. It doesn't have to be anger. It could be disappointment. Could be a sense of frustration. Maybe someone said something to you as a child, and for 30 or 40 years, you're carrying around a hurt in your pain pocket. And Paul says, listen, I want you to understand grace and why Jesus died. And as we think about communion in a few minutes, this is the reason that Christ went to the cross, not only to forgive us our sins so we could go to heaven, but to deal with the unresolved emotions in our pain pocket to bring healing to us. It doesn't take very long to think about what's in your pain pocket. We kind of get it real quick because we know what we've been dealing with for a long time. But I want you to understand something. The grace of God needs to define it rather than letting your hurt define you. And Paul says, you need to get rid of it. Let me paraphrase it. You and I need to go to work on through grace to somehow deal with the unresolved emotions in our pain pocket. You know why? Because if we never deal with them, they're always going to be there. Now, some of us are real good at stuffing things. It's called repressing or suppressing, where you have an experience, and it's really a tough one. It could be embarrassing, could be hurtful, could be a lot of things. And so we try and kind of just push it into the basement of our hearts. And every once in a while, you'll watch a TV program or you'll hear somebody say something, and it taps into it, and it jumps up. We all get that. And so God is saying to us today through the book of Colossians and Paul, rid yourself or empty the unresolved emotions in your pain pocket. You know why? It'll set you free. It'll bring healing to your life. It'll restore the sense of this sense of despair that we feel on the inside. Got a picture. I'll have Brianne put the last slide up here. Anger is heavy. Let it go. I want to close out the message this morning before Jack comes with just a final thought. That if you have anger in your heart, can I tell you, it's one of three directions it's pointed toward. Direction number one, it could be vertical, that you are angry at God because you felt like he let you down at some point in life. Some people get angry with God, just have to deal with it. Number two, anger towards another person because they did something to you, performance, expectation, and performance. There's a gap, and you have anger towards that person. Area number three, listen closely. Is anger turned inward toward yourself? I really can't blame God for stuff. I don't know, that's just the way I was raised. If I get hurt, I can kind of work through that. My biggest problem is toward myself. You know what anger turned inward does? You get depressed. It's called depression. You may be here this morning and in your pain pocket, if you have any anger, God may be calling you today to let it go. You know how you let it go? It's called forgiveness and grace. Where, okay, God, forgive me for my anger toward you. Forgive me if I'm holding something against somebody else. Or maybe, and this I found is the hardest one, forgiving yourself. I was up at the jail Friday, shared some of these things with the people up there, the ladies and the guys. I asked them, how many have anger? And most of them raised their hand. You know who they're angry with? Themselves. You know why? Performance, expectation. I can't believe I'm here. Toward self. You may be here and God is calling you today to love yourself or let him love you in such a way that you will let go of your anger toward yourself. It's called forgiveness and grace, and you let the cross, the grace of Jesus Christ, define your past hurt rather than letting your pain have the final word. Pain pockets, everybody's got them. Here's the key. You and I have to give God complete access to your pain. There you go. So we're going to close in prayer, and then Jack's going to come and lead us in communion. But I want to take just a couple moments and allow you the opportunity before God, through the power of his Spirit, say, okay, God, is there anything I need to let go of, get free of, be healed for? Bow your heads with me. Let's pray. Spirit of God is speaking to each heart. You know exactly what's inside because he's showing you. And God is saying to you, today is the day you need to forgive. You need to let it go. Whether it's anger towards him or anger towards somebody else, or maybe you're angry with yourself. Make a decision right now. Say, God, through your grace and your help, I will let my anger go. That's in my pain pocket. Just do that right now. Father, I just pray you'll answer the prayers of your children. Do a deep surgical touch in each heart here today. I pray we'll all, through the power of your Spirit, let go of, release, somehow give it over to you, the pain of anger that we have towards you, towards other people, or toward ourselves. I pray you'll set every person here free this morning to a higher level because the grace through the cross of Jesus Christ makes it possible. In your name we pray. Amen.